Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A few headlines for agriculture this morning. As Argentina slips deeper into crisis, banks are taking fewer risk. This trend could severely restrict, of course, the availability of operating credit for farmers next season. Here in the United States, the average farm principal operator, still much more likely to be male than female, is 1.2 years older than last time around. USDA conducted the Census of Agriculture in 2007. The farmer, now 58.3 years old on average. There was a slight uptick in the number of farmers under the age of 35, but not enough to shift the average. The EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers have been working on a proposed revision to the rule spelling out the waters of the U.S. and what that might mean in the Clean Water Act. It's expected to become public soon. Farm groups are among those concerned about the breadth of the proposal because more bodies of water could be considered as falling under federal regulations. Taking a look at the national average basis for corn, it was unchanged at 22 cents under the March futures contract last night. The corn index up 2 cents according to DTN at $4.34. The national average for beans was unchanged at 43 cents under the March, and the DTN national soybean index up 4 cents at $13.15. And the national average basis for hard red winter wheat, or rather hard, is hard red winter wheat, was 2 cents higher at 12 cents under the May contract.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now here's meteorologist Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated with today's agricultural weather forecast. Good morning to you, Drew.
Good morning, Todd. We have another blizzard that's behind us finally. We did see over 11 inches of snow accumulate across portions of the upper Midwest and Wisconsin in particular. Yes, it was a tough day across many of those areas. We still have a lot of wind blowing across a big part of the northern Midwest, with a considerable amount of blowing and drifting of snow still prevailing across some of that region. The temperatures have really fallen off in recent hours, down into the single digits across parts of Minnesota and the teens in portions of northern Iowa and Wisconsin, and this is just the beginning. Unfortunately, this cold air mass will be followed by a reinforcing shot of cold late this weekend and probably one more next week. Each of these little disturbances, little shots of cool air will lower temperatures a little bit more. The bitter cold is going to be most likely in the northern parts of the region. This will be primarily from the Dakotas and northern Nebraska, eastward into Michigan, northernmost Illinois. These areas will probably see temperatures that will either be near or below 0 degrees at late this weekend into the early to middle part of next week. That's too cold for this time of the year, obviously. It's too cold for the long winter that we've already been dealing with. And it looks like we'll warm up a little bit in the first weekend in March, but it looks like we may have some more precipitation to deal with at that point, and maybe a little reinforcing shot of some milder but yet still cooler bias conditions in that later in that first week of March. So it's not a really wonderful looking outlook. As long as we can get on the right track here in March, I think we'll probably do okay. But the concern is that we're still going to have bouts of cold air coming and going across the Midwest. As we move into the early to middle part of March, the upper air flow pattern will continue to reinforce this pattern that we've been dealing with for weeks. And so even though we will warm up a little bit, I think there's going to be more cold air coming back across the region on a periodic basis. We will expect the temperatures across the region to certainly turn colder. Today will be one of the better days. Depending on where you are across the region, we'll expect to see the afternoon temperatures contrast rather sharply. Some areas in the upper Midwest and the northern plains may not rise much out of the teens and 20s, but in the lower Midwest, we'll probably see afternoon temperatures in the 50s, which isn't terribly bad for this time of the year. We'll expect to see the colder air push further to the south, so our coldest days will be late in the weekend and early next week. At that point, we'll probably see high temperatures limited to single digits and teens across the far northern parts of the Midwest from the Dakotas to Michigan, and probably looking at 20s and 30s across the southern parts of the region. As we move on out a little later next week, we'll start to see some moderation, but it is going to stay cold at least till Thursday or Friday. And the low temperatures at night, as I've already mentioned, will be bitterly cold. I think we'll see sub-zero readings as far south as northwesternmost Illinois and central Iowa. But most other areas to the south and east of that will probably not see such conditions. I do not expect to see winter kill take place in wheat country because I think we'll have sufficient snow cover in most cases to protect the crops. South Dakota might be the only place to keep in mind. They may be close to damage threshold here this weekend, but snow will fall Sunday into Monday. The other issue out there is the southwest U.S. plains, which continue to be very dry, but there's an opportunity for some precipitation possibly evolving out that way for sometime late next week or in the first weekend of March. So we'll watch that real closely. As far as precipitation for the Midwest is concerned, we will see a little bit of light snowfall occur across the region as we reinforce the cold. This will occur late in the weekend and early next week, but accumulations of snow should be very, very light. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for his daily update of the weather forecast right here on WILL AM 580. Let's check the numbers at the Chicago Board of Trade from the CME Group, where March wheat futures are trading the nearby contract at 616 and three quarters, up a half cent for the soft red. The March corn at 454, down a penny and three quarters, and July corn at 464 and a quarter, 2.5 lower. December contract at 467 and a quarter, down 1.5 cents. March beans are up a penny at 1359 and a quarter. July at 1333 and a quarter, up a penny and a half. And November at $11.45 and a half, up a quarter of a cent. Bean meal up 70. Bean oil down, or rather up 6 cents. And the live cattle futures. April contract at 142.32 and a half, up 45. March feeders at 171.45, 32 and a half higher. And April lean hogs at $98.62 and a half cents, 80 cents higher. On the phone line to take a look at those numbers and some of the figures that came out from the United States Department of Agriculture at the Ag Forum this morning is Bill Mayer. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, let's start with what USDA had to say this morning. They showed another series of figures, this time the production and ending stocks number. Let's take up the corn first. Just under 14 billion bushels they expect for production this year. At 2.1 billion bushel carryout. Season's average price released yesterday at $3.90. Is it having an impact or influence in Chicago?
Well, I think it gave the bears something to grab onto here. I think, you know, if you're kind of picking apart some of the numbers here, I mean, the acreage, probably 92 million planted, was probably on the low end. And the yield they plugged in there at 165.3, basically they're saying, you know, we're going to have the best crop we've ever had yield-wise. I think that's a little bit higher maybe than some people expected, but the, you know, the 2.1 billion bushel carryout, I mean, I think that was the kind of the numbers we're going to see in the 390 average price. That, you know, that's an average. You're going to be below that, you're going to be above it. I think that's kind of where the market is really when you look at the carryout numbers. You know, I don't know if they agree with the way we got there necessarily.
Mm-hmm. How about for the soybeans? What do you see in those figures?
Well, I mean, basically they're saying a big increase in the soybean carryout from 150 this year to 285 next year, nearly doubling it. I guess I kind of looked at the individual acres, or not the individual acres, but the wheat, corn, and soybean acres combined.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're 3 million less than what the biggest year in 2012 was. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to argue with those numbers, I guess, as far as acreage go. They plugged in a pretty good bean yield again, like they have corn. We were talking about this in Bradley the other night at our meeting up there with Dave. You know, the USDA is convinced that, you know, yields are on this trend because of the non-GMO stuff, and they're probably a little bit more aggressive on trend yields than maybe some of the other analysts.
Yeah, many of the other analysts, including Daryl Good and others, I think are down 2.5 bushels below what USDA's numbers really are.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where we're at. The acres, of course, are going to be debated between now and the 31st of March. But I think, you know, the 92 to 93 is where a lot of guys really are on corn planted acres. And bean acres, USDA's got 79.5. I guess somebody asked that question the other night at the meeting, and I said I think the trade is somewhere in that 79 to 80 million on beans. So I don't think there's any big surprises here from the acreage standpoint.
Very quickly, and I don't have much time left here, what are you telling producers about crop insurance?
Well, I think it's the best value as far as protecting your downside price risk. And if you look at it on a per bushel basis, I think, you know, you got to go in there, and prices have come down this year from a premium per acre standpoint. Of course, you're not protecting as much either, but, you know, it's still good protection. You got to try to maximize your protection.
Thank you so much, Bill. We'll talk with you during Commodity Week this afternoon, just after the closing market report.
Thanks, Don.
That's Bill Mayer. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing. Joins us here on the opening market report on this Friday morning. You are, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
If you'd like to catch up with the ag programming and see those numbers from USDA, you can do that on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. We update it with all our programming about 15 minutes after it airs on our radio stations.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.